And if you have your Bible with you this morning, please open it up to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And our passage this morning will be coming from the verses we find here, 3 through 10. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on earth." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just do thank you for this opportunity to gather together congregationally and worship you and sing praises to you, Father. I thank you for this passage of Scripture, and as Pastor Craig brings it to us and gives us some ideas of just what you've given us here on this earth that can point us towards you, Father. I thank you so much that you didn't leave us here without any inkling of you, any thoughts of what heaven might be like. Thank you for the hope that we have, Father, that this world is not our home. It only gets better with you. What an assurance and an encouragement that is for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks, John. But I've kind of thrown you a little bit of a curveball this morning, because we're actually going to be in Revelation chapter 22. But I had that was the scripture that I wanted read, because it relates very closely to what we're going to be looking at. I said, actually, it's Revelation chapter 21, but we'll begin in verse 22 of that chapter. But as you're turning there, I don't know how you're... 2017 was, whether it was a good year or not so good year. And I pray, though, that regardless of what your outlook was concerning last year, that you have reflected upon it and recognized the goodness of your God and thanked him for all he has done in this past year. Bringing us through the trials, blessing us, whatever the Lord has done. But my purpose this morning is not so much to reflect on the past year, but look ahead into 2018, already counting the blessings that we do have because of Christ. In fact, according to that Ephesians passage, we have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And this morning we're going to look at a few of those spiritual blessings. But let me read you Ephesians 1:3 again. Go ahead and stay in Revelation if you're there. But Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And then it goes on to describe how he did that, and what he did through his sacrifice for us, and what some of those blessings are. But the point that I want to make this morning is that you and I right now, in Christ, if we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, we have been blessed. We have been benefited with spiritual blessings from the heavenly places. Now, creation today is not even comparable to what heaven will be, what we will be, what we will see, what we will experience in the new creation. But this verse, or this passage in Ephesians, is telling us that we can right now experience some of the spiritual blessings of heaven. In a sense, we can taste heaven here on earth in a number of ways. Have you ever been to Costco about 11:30 in the morning? What's going on at the end of every, just about every aisle? Yeah, lunch, that's right. Some of us go there for lunch, right? But they're handing out samples, aren't they? You can find on almost every aisle people handing out free samples of goods that Costco sells. Tiny little samples of the most delicious cheesecake you have ever eaten in your life. Tiny samples of barbecued pork loins. Tiny samples of both sweet and salty treats. And somehow they even make the healthy stuff taste good. But then, the reason they allow people, though, to freely taste these things is so that they will want more, all right? So that they'll bring the product home, bring it home and enjoy it. And if you're anything like me, it never quite has the same flavor at home as it did. And it's because we're going there at lunch and we're hungry, right? But they give us that taste so that we'll want more. Well, here is my definition for the word taste. And you won't find this exact definition in a dictionary, I don't think. But I think it's a good definition. Here's my definition of taste. It's the full experience in sample size. The full experience in sample size. And I want you to understand, one of the reasons I define it that way is in Hebrews, we are told that Jesus tasted death for everyone. The full experience in one person. And he offered salvation to everyone as a result of that. But anyway, taste, the full experience in sample size. And it's designed to leave us wanting more. Nathan Reichert. He is a professor up at Frontier School of the Bible. In fact, he and his wife and family, they were here a couple weeks ago and gave us a brief 5-minute update on their first semester up there at Frontier, and they were here. But anyway, Nathan's wife, Tara, I almost said Nathan's husband, Tara, but that's not right. Nathan's wife, Tara, years ago wrote a letter, or really an essay, about our camp, Cedar Mountain Retreat. When she was younger, she attended that camp. She ended up through high school counseling at that camp. And it was after that she wrote an essay that communicates some of her experiences, some of her thoughts, some of her feelings about the spiritual blessings given to her through her ministry at our camp. And I want you to listen. I'm not going to read the entire thing to you, but I want you to listen to the very first and last lines of that essay. Here's the first. She begins by saying, "No other experience in my Christian life has impacted me spiritually the way counseling at camp has." And here's the last line. She says, "Nothing on earth will compare to heaven's glory and the presence of God, but at Cedar Mountain Retreat, I was given an idea of what I have to look forward to." It was a taste for her, a taste of heaven on earth. And I want us all to understand here today that ministry for the Lord, serving the Lord with our lives, living for the Lord, bringing Him glory, sharing His salvation, being enabled by the Spirit, serving God here on earth is a taste of heaven. It's a taste of heaven. The full experience in sample size. designed to leave us wanting more. In Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." And our subject this morning is tasting heaven on earth, okay? And we're going to see seven heavenly blessings that we can experience here on earth in sample size right now. And it's designed to leave us wanting more. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this. Don't turn there, but let me read it to you. It says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." In other words, the blessings of heaven have not yet been fully realized. They will one day for those of us who have placed our faith in Christ for salvation. But we can taste them right now. And we're going to look at Revelation chapter 21's view of heaven and relate it to what we can actually taste here today. So if you're not in Revelation chapter 21, go ahead and turn there. We're going to begin in verse 22. And the very first heavenly blessing that we find in that passage is perceiving God's presence. Perceiving God's presence. Let me read to you verse 22. He says there, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." Now, the temple is the dwelling place of God. The verses prior to these describe in great detail the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, and how incredible and beautiful it will all be. But then in verse 22, we are told there will be no material temple in it because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb will be the temple. Now know this, the Jewish temple, okay, is where the presence of God dwelled at one time. In heaven, we learn here that God and the Lamb, Jesus Christ, will be the temple and we will dwell in Him. But here's how we taste this. Because right now, He dwells in us. He dwells in us. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Now, one day, we're going to be with God, but right now, God is with you. It's a taste of heaven on earth. We can perceive His presence as a result of that. How? Well, when I was a kid, we used to play a game in the swimming pool called Marco Polo. Okay, if you played that, it has absolutely nothing to do with the guy, right? But anyway, it's kind of a game of tag. And how it works is if I were it, I would close my eyes and I would shout out Marco. And the rules say everybody else that's in the pool then has to say Polo, okay. And I'm trying to go tag them. And when I tag them, they're now it and they do it, all right? But really, there are two things that we can perceive, or it's two things really in that game even that I could perceive to know that someone was present. One is I could perceive their voice, because when I said Marco, they had to say they had to answer and say Polo, and then I could find them there. But the other way, and for those of you that have played this game, you know this. If you are really, really quiet, you can actually perceive the other people moving in the water. Have you noticed that playing that game, or am I the only one? All right. Oh, see, that's a rule I didn't play by. Okay. All right. Okay. But here's how all this relates, okay, to perceiving God's presence. When we ask, God will answer. When we call out to Him, He will respond. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Jesus is saying, if you ask, I will answer. If you are seeking me, you will find me. If you need me, I'm there for you. Every day of our life, we can perceive God's presence as we pray and He answers. Call out for Him. Tell Him your concerns. Tell Him your fears. Ask for His help and He will answer. When we ask, God will answer. But also, when we are still, we can sense God move. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." God will move in our lives so that we can see the results of His presence. There will come a time in heaven when we will see Him face to face. But we can perceive His presence right now through His answers to our prayers and His work in and through our lives. It's a taste of heaven. Ask God for His help. As His children, as parents, as schoolmates, as co-workers, as your parents' children, okay, as ambassadors for Christ, and watch Him move. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Perceiving God's presence is one of those ways that we can actually taste heaven here on earth. Another heavenly blessing we find in our passage is living in God's light. Let me read to you verses 23 and 24. It says, "The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it." Just like Jesus is going to be the light of heaven, to the degree that there will be no more darkness, we can actually taste that now here on earth. In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." There have been times, again, up at our camp where I forgot to bring my flashlight to the evening chapel. And it was light outside when I got there. But by the time chapel was over, it was dark. And it can get really, if it's a moonless, cloudy night up there, it can be really, really dark. And then I have to find somebody who didn't forget their flashlight, hope they're going my way, and I can follow them back to my camp. Well, God's light is a spiritual blessing that we have right now in this dark world. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Living in God's light, though, it has some requirements, all right? First of all, living in God's light requires salvation. Certainly, only those written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be in heaven. In fact, peek at verse 27 for a minute. Chapter 21, verse 27, it says, "But there shall by no means enter," it talking about heaven, "anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." In John chapter 1, verses 4 and 12, John tells us there that in Him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So living in God's light requires salvation. In fact, it is the only requirement that one will need to live in heaven's light one day. But that word walk in verse 24 really speaks of the way perhaps we live, the way we make our way through life. And if we want to taste heaven's light here on earth, not only does it require salvation, but it requires sanctification. Sanctification is our right here and right now being separate from the darkness of the world and becoming more like Christ. How do we do that? Well, we follow Christ. We follow the light. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. It's doing as he does. Do as he would do. And the only way we can know that is to not only follow Christ, but to fellowship with Christ. One of my favorite definitions of the word fellowship, and you will not find this in a dictionary, okay? But one of my favorite definitions of the word fellowship is two fellows in a ship, all right? Two fellows in a ship, because they're there together. They're going the same direction. They have the same goal in mind, and they are getting there in the same way. Fellowship with Christ is our spending time with him in prayer, in his word, reading, listening, being doers of his word and not hearers only. Psalm 119, 105 says that God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You've heard the saying before, but our actions speak louder than our words. And in order for us to be a light in this world, we need to be doers and not hearers only. Our lives as lived before those we minister to will either shine the light of Christ or they will demonstrate the darkness of the world. And in Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Living in God's light is actually a taste of heaven here on earth. The third heavenly blessing is giving God glory. Giving God glory. Look at verse 26. "And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it." Just like God will be glorified and exalted in heaven by saved people from every nation, we can taste that heavenly blessing on earth by bringing him glory now. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." There's an old saying that goes like this. It says, "Some men become proud because they ride a fine horse, wear a feather in their hat, and are dressed in a fine suit of clothes. Who does not see the folly in this? For if there be any glory in such things, the glory belongs to the horse, the bird, and the tailor." We have to understand, giving glory to God is giving credit where credit is due. God is the maker of all. He is the giver of life. He is the sustainer of everything. And giving God glory is acknowledging his worthiness. Really, the fact that he alone is worthy of praise because he alone is perfect in all of his ways. Perfectly loving, perfectly merciful, perfectly faithful, perfectly good, perfectly wise, perfectly just, and bringing him glory is acknowledging his worthiness, but also affirming his worthiness. This, again, is living a life that demonstrates that we know that he alone is worthy of praise, and we do it by being loving, being merciful, being faithful, being good, wise, just, and being vocal about why we are. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. He goes on and says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Giving God glory is a heavenly blessing that we can taste right now here on earth. The fourth heavenly blessing is witnessing of God's water. Chapter 22 and verse 1 here in Revelation says this, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Now, water is used numerous times in scriptures to describe a source of life, because water is. And we know that better than many living here in Mesquite. I mean, you look out across the desert and we see brown, 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 but then all of a sudden, a green patch. And we know there's a golf course there, right? And water. There's a place, it's out past Bunkerville and Riverside. You head out on a dirt road and you're going along. It's desert, 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 desert. And then out in the middle of it all is about a 10-acre piece of ground that is just infested with huge, lush palm trees. You know there's water there. It's a source of life. Well, right in our verse, this water is called the water of life. And not only is the Apostle John witnessing this life-giving water in heaven, but in his account of Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus said in John 4:10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water. In John 7:38, Jesus said, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This water is the source of eternal life. And we are to share that. It flows, know this, even according to our passage, it flows from Christ. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, he is the source of eternal life. He died to pay for our sins and rose again the third day back to life, proving that he could give it. It flowed from Christ. It flowed to us. Ephesians 1:13 says, in him you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It flows from Christ. It flowed to us, and it can and should flow through us. In fact, that is one of the duties of a Christian, is to witness of, to share this life-giving water, a gift of God to us, through us, so that all may drink. It is a taste of heaven here on earth. And along with witnessing of God's water is feeding on God's fruit. Verse 2 of chapter 22 says this. It says, in the middle of its street and on either side of the river was a tree of life which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, I, for one, I can't wait to actually see all of this with my own eyes and have perfect understanding of what we're reading here. But even now, there is no doubt that the words being used and the images being painted here have a literal meaning and can be connected to heavenly blessings that we can taste right now. The Bible uses the word fruit a lot. The fruit, for one thing, is a product of growth, all right? Fruit in our life is the product of our growing in the likeness of Christ. In Galatians 5:22 and 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Fruit in our life is a product of our growing in the likeness of Christ, and fruit in our life is a product of our growing in dependence upon Christ. John 15:5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." That is a very important and fundamental truth that Christians need to keep in mind. Without Christ, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. With Christ, we can bear much fruit. The sixth taste of heaven here on earth is savoring God's service. Verse 3. It says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Now, I began this morning reading the first and last lines of Tara Reichert's essay about Cedar Mountain Retreat. And I'll just repeat them quickly. She said, "No other experience in my Christian life has impacted me spiritually the way counseling at camp has." The last line says, "Nothing on earth will compare to heaven's glory and the presence of God. But at Cedar Mountain Retreat, I was given an idea of what I have to look forward to. A taste of heaven." But here's what I want to tell you. Everything that she wrote between that first and that last line pertained to serving Christ. She savored it. She savored it. It brought her great joy. And as I look back on this past year, 2017, and I count the blessings that God has bestowed upon me, none of them give me greater joy than those I obtained through serving my Lord. None of them give me greater joy than that. And therefore, as we look forward into 2018, we can know that nothing is going to bring us greater joy than those blessings obtained through serving our Lord. Yes, serving God, it can be scary. Steps of faith can be very frightening. Taking those opportunities to share the gospel can be nerve-wracking. Being used of God will drive us right out of our comfort zone. But if we do everything as unto the Lord, these opportunities to serve will be among your most fond memories, not only at the end of 2018, but at the end of your life, for the rest of your life. Savoring God's service here on earth is a taste of heaven. It's a taste of heaven. But here's the best part of our service to the Lord in heaven. Verses 4 and 5. "They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." You and I, there will come a time when we will see God's face. and we will serve him and reign with him forever and ever. And on that note, I have one last heavenly blessing to give you, and I'll close with it. Okay? This side of heaven still has its issues, doesn't it? While we can taste it, it is only a sample size and somewhat tainted by this world. So the last blessing that I want to give you here this morning as a taste of heaven is hoping in God's heaven. Hoping for the reality, looking forward to the reality of what we read here today. Living today in anticipation of eternity and its perfection. And I want to give you some things that we can actually learn from this passage, but are really kind of missing from this passage. They're not included in heaven, okay? And the fact that they won't be there is a huge blessing in itself. Here they are. No more imperfect temple. No more imperfect temple. God is going to be our temple. It's going to be perfect. And we can look at that from two sides. There isn't going to be a brick and mortar building that can be destroyed anymore. But I'm thinking more along the personal side. Okay? This temple right here will no longer be imperfect. It will be perfected in heaven. Another thing that won't be there is no more darkness. For God will illuminate heaven forever. Here's a good one. Number three, no more sin. No more sin. Only those made righteous by the shed blood of Christ will be there. No more curse. We will serve God flawlessly in glorified bodies. Here's a good one. They're all good. No more invisible God. We will see his face. We will be with him forever. And then no more death. Not only the pain of physical death and everything that's associated with that, but no more spiritual death. We will no more be separated from our God. We will reign with him forever. So on that note, looking at these things that we can taste, these heavenly things that we can taste right now because of Jesus Christ, be today, do today, live today in anticipation of eternity. Hoping in heaven is a spiritual blessing that we can experience right now. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for this account that you gave the Apostle John to record concerning many things that we will experience in heaven, your dwelling place when we get there. But as we link that, Lord, to the fact that we have been blessed with spiritual blessings right now through Jesus Christ, I pray that we would realize that on a day-by-day basis. Lord, that we would perceive your presence. That we would know that whatever we're going through, you are there with us, waiting for us to just ask so you can answer. So we can see you move. Lord, that we would live in your light. This year, this coming year, 2018, Lord, I pray that we would not walk in darkness, but that we would follow you, that we would fellowship with you. Father, that we would give you glory in everything we do. Lord, that we would witness of your life-giving water with everyone we meet, and that we would feed on your fruit. Lord, that the fruit of your Spirit would be attributes of our daily life. That we would understand daily, Lord, that without you, we can do nothing. And Lord, that service, everything that we do, Lord, that we would savor it. That it would bring a smile to our face, that we could give you glory for it. And Lord, we thank you for it all in Jesus' name, hoping, confidently hoping, Lord, looking forward to the day when the things that we've just talked about will be perfect clarity in a perfect place in your perfect presence. We thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.